The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station. Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Hey folks, how you doing? Welcome along to Monday evening's Off the Ball. And coming up this evening, we've got a good one for you on Monday Night Rugby. We are reuniting two old foes, because before there was O'Gara and Sexton, there was Humphreys versus O'Gara. So coming up in about 15-20 minutes time, we're going to dial up Ronan O'Gara, we're going to dial up David Humphreys, and we'll have a chat about their rivalry. So we're looking forward to that this evening. On the football show, Danny Higginbottom is going to join us. A very interesting career. Came through at United in the mid-90s. He was cleaning Roy Keane's high-techs and then Roy Keane's Diodoras. And then he was playing alongside Roy Keane in the same dressing room and was managed by him later on. So we'll talk to Danny Higginbottom about his career. Had a fine Premier League career, including those 5 years under Tony Pulis at Stoke, when Stoke were very, very good indeed. Also this evening, another edition of the Classic Game Club. Jerome and Tommy have rewatched the 1998 All-Ireland Football Final, Galway against Kildare. Their conversation after 8 o'clock. As ever, 53106. Text us regardless of what's going on. At Off the Ball is where you'll get us on Twitter as well. I have Richie McCormack, as ever, with the news round. Hello, sir.
Well, Joe, evening to you.
Evening to you as well. Nathan Murphy as well. Hello.
Evening, gentlemen.
So we go again. I mean, I must admit, I was it stopped me in my tracks when I saw that the Classic Game Club was looking back at Kildare against Galway, 1998. There was a 12-year-old Joe Malloy, very excited around this time, I have to say. There were posters all over Selbridge saying that we were all invited to a wedding. Lily White is to marry Sam Maguire. The place covered in white. We had Mick O'Dwyer, Glenn Ryan, we'd Nog Buckley, we'd Dermot Early, we'd Eddie McCormack. We were unstoppable until Jaff Allen said, no thank you, you are not getting away with this one. This is our All-Ireland, and it was a very crushing couple of weeks around Kildare. I can tell you that, Nathan Murphy.
I'm just surprised, Joe, considering both your parents are from Mayo, that with what happened in 1996 and 97, they didn't just take you aside and say, you know what, Joe, sport is about heartbreak. Sport is about disappointment. Don't believe the hype. Don't watch it. Don't buy into it. It's not going to happen for you.
I mean,
it's not your destiny to enjoy success.
We thought this would be different as well, you know, because 96, I mean, full-on Mayo household, Mayo jerseys everywhere. 96 was painful. 97 was kind of embarrassing. Morris Fitz just destroyed them. But we thought, well, maybe with Kildare, this will be different. And so that was the full hat-trick, the full painful, ignominious hat-trick. I do remember that. I mean, that was a very difficult Galway team not to like. At the same time, they were class. But equally, Kildare's matches around that time were always brilliant. They played a great brand of football under Mikko.
They did, but that Galway team was one of the great teams.
Yeah.
It was down in Galway last year. We were in Taps Pub, right in Shop Street in Galway, on a Thursday afternoon, and recorded a bit of a panel with Jaff Allen, Ray Silk and Sean O'Dupuire, and I think we spent about 25 minutes just luxuriating about Michael Donlan. Mm. And every single line of that team had something special. And then there was a year till Sunday as well, which just made it all the better, which means you get the full-on blow-by-blow memory of it. Yeah, that was obviously a very, very strong Kildare side, but I think when you look at that Galway team, I don't think there was many sides that would have lived with them that year.
No, they were exceptional that year, and obviously won another All-Ireland a few years later. So that is on the way between 8 and 9. We have O'Gara and David Humphreys are in about 10, 15 minutes' time or so. I'm looking forward to this. I don't think they've done a joint chat about their rivalry, so that is on the way this hour. And then Danny Higginbottom. We recorded this chat earlier on with Danny Higginbottom. Really good, lots of interesting bits and bobs in it. Came through at United 94 to 97. He was cleaning Roy Keane's boots back in the day, the high-techs, followed by the Diodoras, and then he was in that same dressing room. So he's got lots of interesting little bits. Huge fan of Roy Keane, by the way. Found him nothing but encouraging and intense in a good way. So that is all coming up. Richie, and by the way, it's lovely to see you with sunlight behind you. You can tell the clocks have gone forward.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
amazing. Grand old stretch.
A grand old stretch. So your news round, I'm calling you, I mean, this has been a theme, I grant you.
What?
But never has your news round been more worthy of the title, the cancellation news round. It is just a litany of cancellations. So let's go. Except, well, the Olympics. You have a new date for the Olympics.
We do indeed. The Olympics have been refixed to begin in Tokyo on July 23rd of next year, and they will run until August the 8th. The Paralympic Games will run from August 24th to September 5th. The dates almost mirror those of this year's postponed games. World Athletics, meanwhile, say they're actively looking at dates in 2022 in which to rearrange next year's planned World Championships in Eugene. The 2021 Games also overlap with the final week of the Tour de France, while the Olympic Federation of Ireland and Paralympics Ireland have both welcomed the new dates.
Very good. Meanwhile, the Irish Open.
Yeah, we begin the post-moment roundup. This year's Dubai Duty Free Irish Open has been postponed. Mount Juliet was due to host the tournament from May 28th to the 31st. The European Tour say they'll maintain discussions on rearranging all postponed tournaments. They're racking up now 8 in all on the European Tour. The earliest the European Tour can resume now is with the Trophy Hassan in Morocco. That will be in the first weekend in June.
I won't lie, Nathan. I've generally come to accommodate the new norm and all its many insults to the senses, but this one stopped me for a moment. I got wistful and I was thinking of whenever it was last year in the build-up to the Irish Open where we had Conor Sketches entertaining our crowd at Paris Court, and then Le Hinch was one of the best kind of few days of work by a distance last year. So it's those kind of things we should be doing right now and we're not.
Yeah, and we'd already put quite a few plans in place for this year, and I think there was going to be a great week down in Kilkenny, and obviously Mount Juliet as well have invested massively. And like, we've spoken a lot about the golf calendar and Ryder Cup and majors. Where does an Irish Open fit in? I know the European Tour are talking, maybe they go on into October, November, and they play these tournaments no longer in the sunshine, but in the cold and the wet and the rain, and the players are happy to be out there. But it does feel like it'll be a very different event whenever it does take place. And it is massively disappointing for Mount Juliet. There's no reason if it's postponed for a year, they can't host it again. But as we know, the logistics are difficult. I'm sure they've invested massive money already in the promotion of the tournament and making sure that everybody's aware it's happening. So for those people involved down there, it's hugely disappointing. But hopefully at some stage they can squeeze it in again. But I think we're at that stage that obviously there's a lot of talk about the Premier League. We might get on to that in June. That it just seems every week we're pushing things back month by month.
Yeah, it sure does.
You pair would know better than me, but would the Rolex Series status of the Irish Open kind of protect it a little bit and how it might be rearranged? Because there are other events on the European Tour that don't necessarily have the same status and money attached to them. You would think that might
it's a fair
count
point.
So much.
It might put it up the pecking order of events, which if there's a limited number of weeks can be staged, that are staged. Good luck to Graham McDowell, by the way, as tournament host, getting on to the Americans in Florida and saying, guys, great news. Great news. Second week of December, the Irish Open. Come on over.
I do wonder about golf, though, in the grand time frame of sport coming back as to where it fits in. So we mentioned the PGA Tour. Like, the European Tour has players from every part of the world as to how they come back. And what do they do as certain countries reach certain markers, you're allowed to come back in and you're allowed to travel. It's hard to see a situation where, unless 90% of the world is somehow clear of this, how golf comes back. And I'm sure the old conversation around behind closed doors is going to come up again, even around golf. But it does feel like golf is going to be one of those sports probably particularly badly hit.
Yeah. Richie, the rugby summer calendar is clearing up quickly.
Yeah, it would appear to be the case. Ireland's tests against Australia this summer are set to be postponed due to coronavirus. Rugby Australia chief executive Raelian Castle says home tests against Ireland and Fiji in July were highly unlikely to go ahead, while November fixtures in Europe could also be sacrificed to complete Super Rugby and the Rugby Championship. Ireland were due to play a two-test series in July in Brisbane and Sydney, while the Wallabies were also due to travel to Ireland later in the year at the end of their season. Meanwhile, South Africa and the Lions have agreed to postpone on-sale dates for ballot tickets for next year's Lions Tour. They say as well that it won't be overlapping with the Olympic Games.
Katie Taylor, meanwhile.
Yeah, we saw this one coming. We reported it on Off the Ball on Friday. Katie Taylor's bout with Amanda Serrano has been rescheduled for July 4th at the Manchester Arena. The fight was due to take place at the same venue in early May, but has been postponed. The British Boxing Board of Control have banned all fights from taking place in the month of May in the UK because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Texting, I used to spend holidays with mates from Kildare over in Achill. I remember the excitement of that final and their confidence, and then the crushing emptiness of the final result, says Martin. Yes, indeed. Any plans for a classic game club that's golf-themed? I would have thought the Ryder Cup or Masters final round could be fertile ground. My mates have been watching full final rounds from majors to scratch the golf itch over the last couple of weeks, says Paddy. Well, all the Masters final rounds are up on YouTube in very, very good quality because they were put up by the powers that be at Augusta. So they are there waiting for people on YouTube, Nathan. We do need to get the finger out.
Yes, we're going to have a few weeks, so don't you worry. There will be some golf classic games clubs coming your way. What? We're just trying to add a, we'll add a little bit of star power to them, I think.
Oof, promising. I mean, listen, I'm around, Nathan. You just need to just ask. It's fine.
You should do it. You're just so busy, Joe, I know.
What would jump to mind? What would be your first port of call? And let's start Masters here. What Masters final round would you like to kick off with if we were to do this?
Weirdly, I'd like to watch 97 in full.
Yeah.
And just see how convincing it was. I saw a great quote from Colin Montgomery ahead of the final day of the 97 Masters, where he spoke up about his chances and down about Tiger Woods, that basically this young kid has never been in this sort of scenario before. So, you know, I'm the old dog here. I know how to get these things done, which I'd say one of many Colin Montgomery comments to come back to haunt him down through the years.
Aged very well, yeah. Okay, well...
Where would you start?
There's the one with Weisskopf and Miller and I think Jack, where they're all in the mix and it's talked about as maybe the best Sunday. If Dermot Gallese was here, he'd know straight away. So I want to check that one out. And I mean, I've watched
86.
I've watched 86. They kind of make a mess of it, the TV coverage. Mm. They really do. Like, they'd be slaughtered by today's standards because the late charge from Jack is very late. And it's only really about from the 15th on, you get a sense that he's in the tournament. So I'll have a think. 97, I think I would be interested because I don't remember watching 97 with Woods. Weirdly, I remember vividly watching Faldo Norman the year before, and whatever way the world was working in my life at that stage, I don't remember 97 watching Woods the final round as clearly. So yeah, 97 has a certain historic value. I think we could settle on that one very easily.
So we could do a couple of Ryder Cups, a bit of war on the shore.
Yeah. Somebody wants Jewel in the Sun. Watson, Nicholas, or the updated version between Phil and Stenson could be in the mix. I mean, the Phil Stenson one, I know it's very recent, but it was obnoxiously good. That could be worth watching again. The Jewel of the Suns, as we called it at that stage. So, look, we have weeks of this. We'll
do every major from the last 40 years.
Precisely. So Jack Grealish has got himself in a spot of bother. Richie, what's going on here?
Yeah, he has. Aston Villa have fined Grealish after the midfielder was pictured next to a crashed Range Rover at the weekend. Grealish says he's deeply embarrassed by what Villa call a breach of government guidelines. West Midlands police are said to be investigating the incident. The 24-year-old posted on Twitter to say it was a stupid mistake.
I just want to do a quick video message just to say how deeply embarrassed I am by about what has happened this weekend. I know it's a tough time for everyone at the moment, been locked indoors for so long, and I obviously just got a call off a friend asking to go around to his, and I stupidly agreed to do so. I don't want anyone to make the same mistake that I did, so I obviously urge everyone to stay at home and follow the rules and the guidelines of what we've been asked to do. I know for a fact that I'll be doing that in the near future now, and obviously, like I said, I urge everyone to do the same. I hope everyone can accept my apology and we can move on from this, and hopefully, obviously, in the near future we can all be out enjoying ourselves again once this is all boiled over.
Jack.
Boiled over, Joe.
I mean, fair enough. We'll move on. You know, it's easy. I'm not going to hold it against Jack too much. He's made a mistake. He's embarrassed. I mean, there are bigger things at play, but it's pretty embarrassing for him. The old apology down the camera phone. What take was that, I wonder?
How many times did the agent have to have a look?
Yeah.
He should have worn a Tiger Woods-esque oversized suit.
Yes. UEFA, meanwhile, so they're trying to figure out what the hell to do, and they're having a video meeting Wednesday, is it, Rich?
Yeah, they're going to hold all 55 member associations as part of this video conference to discuss plans for completing the football season with coronavirus bringing things to a halt. All 55 member nations are updated on two working groups which were set up by European football's governing body earlier in the month. One of those groups is looking at how the campaign can be finished with an original target of finishing by 30th of June. Another of those groups is reviewing rules and financial issues like player contracts and transfer windows. FIFA are also involved in the latter of those 2 points, by the way.
Yeah, the contracts really make things complicated. Miguel Delaney in the London Independent today, Nathan, had an interesting story. One of the things they're considering, and it's very much contingent on testing speeding up and becoming, you know, like I heard Bill Gates the other evening with Anderson Cooper saying that they're developing a way for you to self-test, and the plan is to get this out as quickly as possible. But once testing improves and the efficiency of it improves, effectively like a World Cup, there are 92 matches left. Get all the players quarantined in hotels, get the cameramen for the games quarantined, the referees, and play all 92 matches, two or three a day, World Cup style, finish the Premier League season that way. One of their concerns is, can they really expect ambulances to be at all these games given the strain on the health service? That is, in fairness, a big consideration. And certain teams will feel harshly done by in that they were due home games maybe that they won't get. They'll have to play them at neutral venues. But it is a solution they're looking at.
It does feel like there's a lot of kite flying going on by the Premier League at the moment. Every second day there's a new proposal, and it seems to be which one receives the most unanimous praise. This one, in some ways, seems like a good idea, but like, there's so many potential pitfalls, which Miguel covers. Like, what happens if somebody has a positive test? Is that the end of it? So they've spent weeks and months planning for this, and if one player has a positive test, is that it over?
Yeah, that's a big point. I think the testing would have to come up to a level whereby players almost could be tested daily.
Like, with a lot of these things, I just don't get with the Premier. Like, I realize that a lot of these are hypotheticals, and they're, as you say, Nathan, just kite flying at the moment and see what flies and see what the public kind of grasp onto. But every single idea that I've heard so far is predicated on the fact that this will be going ahead while, for the general public, it's still not safe to go about normal life with any kind of degree of regularity, which just makes it seem completely stupid.
Well, perversely, in Miguel's piece, he said it has government support, tentative government support, because 2-3 matches a day for the month of June, when everybody is just looking out their windows, might actually keep lots and lots of people at home. So the government are conscious. You know, there are behavioural economics at play here.
Yeah, but look at the amount of subscriptions the Sky have.
That proposal was there 2 weeks ago. So when the final match I was at Stamford Bridge, the Chelsea-Everton game, all the talk in the press room beforehand was of this contingency where the Premier League, even around about this time, would be moving to a one-game-a-day model to keep people inside. That when they went into lockdown, that the Premier League would be some form of entertainment, that they wouldn't get bored. And now maybe this does feed into some sort of longer-term government plan that they're seeing in 2 months' time, that people are fed up with lockdown and actually they're struggling to keep people, so they need to give them a reason and they're willing to make some sort of an exception. It does just feel as though there's too much to go between now and then that could go wrong for them to make any firm plan. But this is a multi-billion dollar industry, and I guess if you're the heads of the Premier League and you've been asked by Sky Sports and various different bodies, what are you doing? You can't really turn around and say, well, come back to us in 6 weeks and we'll see how things are. We'll give you an answer then.
Yeah,
you need to be seen to be somewhat proactive.
It's true. They're trying. Shorter news round than usual this evening, lads. Richie McCormack, thank you. Nathan Murphy, thank you. Take it easy.
Cheers, Joe.
Short ad break, and then we're back with Ronan O'Gara and David Humphreys.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.